No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And my voice is almost there, but I am sure by the end of today's virtual flight, it will be out the window. And I'll be talking like this. What's up, guys?
Maybe you won't be talking at all.
Are we done yet?
Yeah. But, you know, 3-4 weeks after surgery, open heart surgery, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. I just want to prepare our virtual passengers accordingly. Fair enough, guys?
Fair enough.
Okay. Let's talk about other stuff that's not about me. I'm done talking about me, at least for...
Oh, can we make that a permanent rule?
Well, you didn't let me finish, at least for about 20 minutes or so. And then we'll get back to me. But, we've had our first storm of the season here in Central Florida, where we're based out of Orlando. And you guys run flight training professionals. I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about some of the hell that you guys are dealing with right now, preparing the fleet. You know, your fleet of trainers that you have at the airport when the weather comes in. And I'm sure a lot of pilots can appreciate having to deal with oncoming weather. Maybe not as much and as systematic as we do in Florida during hurricane season. However, everybody has to deal with it, no matter where they are in the country. And, you know, you got a storm coming. If you're going to leave it up to your FBO to take care of your plane and it's hanging out at the, at the airport, I don't know. I'm thinking that's probably not the best way to go about that.
Typically, your FBO is not going to have your best interest at heart when it comes to your airplane.
They're just going to try to cover their butts, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, they're going to cover their butts, and they'll have a lot of requests for aircraft owners to store their airplanes, get it out of the elements.
Right.
And there's a limited amount of hangar space. And, you know, that's why, you know, we try to be proactive and start planning early
and get
our name in the list first.
Well, and then, like, you slip them a little note with a $20 bill attached to
it? Well, no, actually, we talk about this a lot, but the way we've kind of run our business from the start is building relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we have built relationships on the field with people that have hangars, and that's how we deal with it.
Yeah.
You need to build those relationships before you need them.
Well, and
so you can't wait till the storm is there and go, hey, buddy, pal, you mind if I need put my airplane in your hangar?
Well, that we have dealt with over the last year and a half a change in ownership and management of the FBO. That when the previous owners, Showalter Flying Service, was involved, you know, we didn't have to go to them because they were already said, yeah, we got your airplanes planned here, here, and here, and we know you're going to go in last. Just let us know when you're ready to put them away.
Hmm.
Done.
Yeah,
you know, they were already including us in that mix,
right?
But that was part of the relationship we built with them, and from day one.
Yeah, but that had been over many years, or at least upwards of 10. Which, by the way, congratulations are in order for Ed and Keith this week because Flight Training Professionals celebrated their 10-year anniversary of your first training flight. Is that the deal?
That is correct.
That is awesome. And we'll get more into that in just a bit. But staying on this, on what you guys have to do. I mean, first of all, we're talking about how many planes you got in the fleet right now about you're managing?
Seven.
Okay. So these guys that have the hangars there at the airport that you kind of use or, you know, kind of like, hey, I'll help you out while you give them like a discount or something maybe on some flying or work some deal without them?
We've never even had to do that.
Oh, yeah, friendly relationship kind of deal.
In the case of the one that we're using, you know, we got to know the person who manages the hangar because he came over and started renting our airplanes.
Got it.
And saw what we did and liked it so much he brought his son to learn to fly with us. And,
okay, there you go.
So it's just a back-and-forth relationship over the last 10 years.
Right on.
And
so is that all you gotta do?
It was literally a quick little text. Hey, can we have some hangar space? Yeah, I was about to give you a call and offer.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, is that all you have to do is to get the planes in a hangar and you're good to go? Or do you got to tie them down? You got to do some kind of special prep?
No.
I mean, the storm we're having, you know, in Orlando this week, I don't know. They're not projecting it to be a major mess.
No.
But it could, swall up. And
yeah, we never know. I mean, Charlie was not predicted to be a major storm either.
True.
And that made a hard turn and came right across the center of the state as
was a mess.
Came in as Cat 4, and then it crossed Orlando still as a Cat 1.
Yeah,
and it was a disaster for us in Orlando. And you know, for people that went through it, you'd go, "Oh my God!" You thought this was like a Cat 4 hurricane.
Well, but the thing is, and you know, Orlando's in the center of the state. It's not a coastline area, so you think by the time it gets here, it's going to be down to at least tropical storm strength.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, you're on the strong side of the storm, and you had tornadoes, and that's actually probably what did majority of the damage.
Yeah, you get these microbursts that are it's not necessarily the fact that it's a Cat 1 or Cat 5 or whatever. I mean, of course, if it was a Cat 4 or 5, forget about it. But even a Category 1, it's not necessarily those constant winds that'll knock you. So you get these microbursts or little tornadoes in the system,
mm-hmm.
and they come in and they just wipe out a neighborhood or sever all the trees, and it was a mess.
Yeah. And the thing is, Orlando wasn't built for that in its building code. Unlike after Hurricane Andrew, South Florida building code is much different, and the houses were built much stronger. I had a house down there that we went through Francis and Jean in, and it was built pre-hurricane code,
mm-hmm.
and we had roof damage, and a lot of trees down, power lines down, that stuff. But by the time Wilma came through the year later, which was a much stronger storm, we really didn't have much damage because everything that could get broken was broken.
Yay!
Those have all been taken across the whole state now. Building codes.
Yeah. So now, new buildings.
Does that apply to the hangars?
They do build hangars differently today.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they do.
And so, what about the ones at the airport? Are they up to code?
They are.
Some of them.
The newer ones are.
The newer ones.
Okay. The ones that got destroyed in
Charlie
and stuff for you.
Anything was rebuilt after that. There's still a few out there that, like the one we're in.
Yeah.
It was built in 37.
Oh.
But it's probably one of the stronger buildings on the airport because it was built in 37.
Well, there you go. If it made it through Charlie, it obviously held up to that.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then,
unfortunately, our airplanes are not in there.
No. No, our airplanes are going to go into probably.
Our computers will be okay.
Tajma hangar, as I call it, and it's one of the biggest, best-built hangars, overbuilt hangars on the airport.
Mm.
It's owned by a bank, so they definitely didn't have to worry about borrowing a lot of money.
Actually, it's not owned by a bank. It's owned by a big corporation.
Wait, Taj Mahal of aircraft hangars? Sound like Trump owns it.
Yeah. No?
Maybe?
No.
No. Okay, but someone else owns it.
Somebody else owns it, yeah.
All right, so that's where
corporation owns it, and
The idea is you get your airplane in there before the storm really kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else you got to consider, or is that it? You just got to get it in there.
It depends on the size of the storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this storm is, by the time it gets to us, it's, tropical storm maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We might get tropical storm gusts.
Yeah. You know, right. One of the things you have to think about is, these airplanes that we're flying, they get airborne at 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, And that's when you're behind the controls. It's okay. When you're not behind the controls.
Well, we're behind the controls, not when you're behind the controls.
What are you trying to say?
But, if it's just the 60-mile-an-hour winds, these things are going to go airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And so at minimum, you want to have them tied down extremely well. However, if it's going to be a hurricane, either Category 1 or greater, we'll fly the airplanes out.
Get them out of the...
Yeah.
And our insurance company actually helps us out with that.
Yeah, they'll pay for part of that.
Yeah, so you just fly them out of the state or just out of harm's way.
Out of harm's way.
Yeah.
There have been a couple evacuations I've dealt with over the years. One, we sent the fleet, when I was at the Commerce Academy, we sent the fleet up into Valdosta, Georgia one time. That was for Andrew. And another time, someplace and separated them, send them to Alabama. And one time with the school, South Florida, we took everybody. The airplanes, the customers, the instructors flew it up to Walterboro, South Carolina, and ran the school for 5 days in Walterboro. that we had a bunch of European students, and so they couldn't go anywhere either. And so we just took the airplanes, continued training, and then when weather cleared, we came back.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, like that idea.
But then 3 weeks later, when the next one hit, all the customers were gone back to Europe.
Hmm.
So I gave the instructors cash and gave them airplanes and said, go.
Just go away. Go away.
Some went north. We actually had a customer offer us their house in Marathon. So some went south, which that was the one that bothered me. It's like, what if it turns, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, all the driving direction, all that said it was going to be here or north. So it worked out.
Well, we'll talk more about this and maybe how you can tie down your plane, maybe some techniques these guys can share. And we'll celebrate their 10-year anniversary of training pilots like myself. I mean, it didn't take me 10 years. Okay, close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Your landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake.
We were all meant to fly. Spread your wings across the universe. Soon you'll fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so we got our first tropical depression, I guess, is what it's going to be. Who knows how this will all work out. But, you know, Ed and Keith run flight training professionals. They've had to, take preparations into consideration for the fleet to protect it from, this weather and these gusts that could easily flip a plane over. I guess that's probably one of the worst-case scenarios, right?
Yeah.
Pick up a plane and fly it without a pilot in command would be kind of crazy.
During Charlie, one of the flight schools at Orlando Executive, good friend of ours and former staff member, kind of post that, but he was working there during Charlie, and he said that they lost like 19 of 26 airplanes during Charlie.
Oof.
Yeah, and he said that the fire department, which stays on airport during storms because their facility is right there, and of course it's built to withstand anything, were watching the airplanes on the tie downs, and he said that the airplanes did exactly what they were supposed to do in that kind of wind.
Yeah.
They were flying in the tie downs, pulling on the ropes, and then the cable tie down that was holding the ropes to the ground, broke free, and the airplanes just started flying all over the place.
That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't your plane.
From a very safe place.
Yeah.
From a very safe place.
Well, you know, we had that issue at Sun and Fun a few years ago.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, exactly. And they had the weather come in and it blew all these planes to hell. It was just a mess.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, I don't know, a lot of that depends on how you tie your airplane down. I mean, there you don't have any protection. You know, if a storm comes in and, you know, obviously there's no hangars, you're exposed.
No, we've flown into Sun and Fun. Do you remember the tie down hooks we use to tie our airplanes down?
Absolutely not.
Okay. You know the things you put your dog, you take a dog to the park, and you screw him into the ground?
Screw things, yeah.
That's all we used.
That was it?
That one could hold our airplane down. Yeah. It met the legal requirement that we had to bring our own tie downs.
Mm-hmm.
But
they make some kind of high-tech spikes
than that? You can get much better than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So some of those airplanes at Sun and Fun aren't tied down very well.
And even the ones that we used, if we got the other ones that were like 2.5 feet long, would have been much better than the ones that we used. But, you know, there wasn't any forecast weather to come through during that. You know, the times that we do that.
Yeah.
You know, we watch the weather pretty close when we're going to go someplace like that. And if it's going to be questionable, we just won't fly in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes
times
sense.
Fair, go by air.
But you don't throw something in the plane that you could use as a tie down in a pinch or? Nah.
No.
Yeah. Too much weight?
No, it's just, you know, you want to watch the weather closer than that.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
doing a good flight plan,
you know,
and me being an expert student in training.
Why are you asking the question then?
I'm stating the thing. If you were like me, you would know better to fly anywhere near any kind of weather system like that. Thank you. Where's my banana?
You know, we look at it as, you know, if we're going to fly in weather like that, then our customers are going to think that they can do it. If we can do it, they can do it.
Yeah.
And so we just don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right, so tie downs, just, you know, that obviously you want to have access to them.
Yeah, and kind of another thing that a lot of places will do, in one, good tie downs, because I'd mentioned the cable tie downs, they wouldn't be as good as one that's anchored in the concrete in the ground. Making sure you have the right type of ropes, or in some cases I've seen them double tie, where they've got two sets of ropes tied on each tie down point. And then chocking all three wheels, because basically once the airplane gets a little motion and momentum, that's what's going to cause the tie down ropes to break, and the airplane then start flipping around.
Mm. Yeah, which would not be good. Right. So that's what you'd want to do for tie downs. And if the first choice in your mind would be to get the hell out of harm's way. Get your plane somewhere else if you have that option.
And you want to use a rope that is not going to stretch a lot when it gets wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You see a lot of people. We have a lot of people at the airport that have their own tie downs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they use they just use tie down straps for, like, you're going to put your pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hook them on there. You hook them on the ground.
Yeah.
And you just pull the strap down. And those don't last. They don't work. Mm. When the airplane starts pulling up against it, it'll just pull right through. And so if you're going to do it, you got to use a ratchet strap and not just the pull through.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so you can do that. But once again, if you can get out of the area, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Or work out a relationship with someone who has a really nice hangar.
Yeah. Well, even that, if we were going to have Category 1 conditions here in Orlando,
you're out of here.
We would go.
Yeah.
We would move the airplane somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So, because you don't dress the hangar past a Cat 1.
Yeah. I mean, I down in South Florida, we got a Cat 3, and in the hangar that I was in, it blew the hangar door in, crushed a couple airplanes.
Mm.
And then, of course, where does that air have to go? It's got to go somewhere, so it goes up and out the roof of the hangar.
Yeah.
And so the office was completely drenched. We had probably about 2 inches of water on the floor because of the rain that came in, and, you know, that was the one we were up in South Carolina for, so it took us, you know, a few days to get back and start cleaning things up, and we lost a lot of stuff that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very well-built post Andrew hangar.
Yeah, but isn't that what insurance is supposed to cover?
It is.
Yeah. And so hopefully your insurance company, if you got into a jam, you couldn't get it out, if you've done your homework and signed up with a reputable company, you should be okay. Or is the insurance company say, hey, this is a cat too. Why didn't you get the plane out of there?
Well, you know, like in the instance of Charlie,
yeah,
that came through really rapidly. And
it came through right behind Bertha. And Bertha really had the northern part of the state already blocked off because it hadn't cleared yet.
Right.
So you couldn't get north and out of here, even if you had enough time.
Right. And in a situation like that, getting them in a hangar is better than nothing at all.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
But is the insurance company going to give you any crap if you don't?
No.
Okay. Just depends.
Because it goes back to your relationship with your underwriter and with your broker.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's about relationships.
If you have done good by them over the years and been a safe operator and you know they know you've tried to do the best to secure the aircraft, they're gonna take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's not best case scenario. You'd rather keep your plane, have it ready to go right after the storm.
Exactly. Because what's going to happen to pilots in training pilots in training.
What are you trying to say?
That want to fly.
I want to fly.
If we don't have an aircraft to train them in, we don't have a business.
True.
You know, it's hard to run a flight school without three things: flight instructors, airplanes, and customers.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have all three to have a business.
Yeah.
And so, actually, Keith and I are about the only thing that are truly expendable. We don't really need us, but we should not let anybody else in on that. I guess when we flight instruct, we're needed.
Yeah.
But, if we didn't have those aircraft to do the training, we would be out of business.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're protecting there. We're protecting the aircraft owners as well.
Yeah.
And we're making sure their assets are there for them to use as well.
Fair enough. All right, look, we got some viewer mail. We're going to celebrate their 10-year anniversary of their first flight student. That's coming up next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, flight training professionals. We're gonna celebrate their 10-year anniversary here in just a bit. But first, back to me. All right, Greg, got a viewer mail here. It says, I just listened to Just Plain Radio, heard you talking about your open heart surgery. It was great to hear you're doing well. Must have been a pretty scary time. The tube down the throat would have finished me off. Well, thanks, Tom. P.S. I just completed my FAA Part 107 online remote pilot certificate.
You knew it had to be a drone story.
Of course. hope to get my CFI today and complete my IACRA process.
IACRA.
Yeah, that's what I said. I have enjoyed the occasional mix of drone conversation on the show. Thanks, and I hope you heal well. Well, thank you, Tom. And yes, we have more drone stories coming up on today's show. Just for you. Also, another one. Everybody's been sending me stuff. I very much appreciate it.
Have you sent him anything?
What?
No.
No, me either.
Yeah. Good
point. Not everybody.
True.
Sympathy comes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is from AJ on the recurring subject of Greg. Oh, Greg's ongoing pilot training. I wanted to relate my own story. Back in 2009, I was a grocery store clerk working for minimum wage, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I did all this. I worked 80 hours a week, 80 hours to get my check ride, and I got it. My house almost burnt down on my check ride day. I still went to it. It didn't get above 10 degrees. I still did my check ride. I'm kind of getting the sense this is one of those hate emails. Anyway, after the check ride,
I'm not sure what your problem is.
he did pass. A few months later, he realized that minimum wage wouldn't do the trick for him. So he got involved with the flying club, and eventually his income improved. But during his course of chair flying and listening to aviation stuff, he found Just Plain Radio. And he'd feel remiss if he didn't chide me just a little bit for not finishing my ticket. I am finished. It's a constant work in progress. So I haven't stopped. That's the main thing.
Have you done anything to help it out in the last 3 weeks?
Well, yeah. I survived open heart surgery.
Okay.
I lived.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And let's talk about drones, since that's really all that I care about. And electric flying cars. Well, just flying cars. They don't even have to be electric. We'll cover both those bases in this segment. Drones, the new commercial regulations from the FAA went into effect this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's official. They're going to be flying, and the demand for the certificate to get that license to fly a commercial drone is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They had a huge reaction. Matter of fact, the demand's so high, there's some people projecting that they will outnumber private pilots within a year.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's true?
I believe it.
You do believe it?
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be like too many, wouldn't it?
Have you seen the commercial where the drones are chasing the people?
Well, I've seen the movies, yeah.
Well, no, there's some commercial
there's
out there.
I don't watch commercials. I only watch movies.
And these people are trying to get out of the building because the drones are hovering, and then they start chasing the people.
It sounds like the movie.
Yeah, well, it sounds like exactly what's going to happen is there's going to be that many of them out there.
Yeah, could be.
You know, and
but having, at least these
having
guys,
a license is not going to necessarily solve anything other than they paid a fee.
Well, they paid a fee, and they have to have some basic knowledge of aviation because they got to pass that class. They got to be a private pilot already.
You've passed a class.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do as far as you stay under 400 feet and then, you know, stay out of airspace. Restrictions near airports and things like that. And that, I mean,
first part of the healing process, he admitted that he doesn't know what to do.
What do you mean? I said I do. I knew what to do. What are you saying? I'm confused. I know what to do. I could, maybe that's what I need to do is just get my drone pilot license first, because I wouldn't be affected
by
any. Well,
that'd take at least 3 years.
Really? No. By the way, I wonder.
That's the way you procrastinate.
Well, in my medical condition, I wonder if I could go ahead and get. I could get that, couldn't I?
Oh yeah, you have to have a third class medical.
I
to
do
fly
have
a drone.
Well, yeah, but it's not a. Do we? No, you don't. You're a liar. Oh,
had him going.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll look into it. But they're out there. They think they're going to eclipse. You know, as far as numbers wise.
It's kind of sad, actually. You know that?
Yeah,
it is sad
because Boeing came out with their new numbers.
Oh yeah, last week,
and the numbers are staggering of the amount of pilots that we need. Not only in this country, 127,000 in the next, 10 years?
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, you do have that contingency that believes that these drone operators, this could be a gateway drug into actually being a private pilot. And that may not be the best metaphor to use. But could drones be such a thing, you think, be a path to become a pilot? Or you think they'll just do the drone thing and say,
The radio-controlled airplanes have done that over time. That people get, I first got into radio-controlled airplanes before I got into the real ones. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got in the real ones, I dropped the radio control, never finished.
Yeah, and then you do have those drone operators on YouTube that are, you know, the operators are actually trying to get on their drones and fly themselves around like a bunch of idiots. But some of them are doing it. I mean, they have done. You've seen those videos,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I mean, it could potentially, you know, morph into something like that.
Well, I'm sure that the major air carriers are looking for drones to finally take over, so they don't have to pay the pilots.
Spoken like a true airline pilot.
Drones, yeah, or flying cars that are automated. I guess that'd be the same thing, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yeah. So, you know, we will see. But whether or not it is a stepping stone to becoming a private pilot and can fulfill some of that need to address that pilot shortage you referred to from Boeing, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't think they're thinking that's going to be the case, though, right?
Well, I don't think we'll see that in our lifetime.
No.
That drones will be flying the commercial airliners. But I think eventually that's where it's going to go.
Well, maybe.
But, you know, I don't know if there's anybody alive today that would accept a drone as a, you know, a drone, a pilot sitting in a room someplace flying your airliner overseas.
I don't know. This goes to my
next story. I'm sorry. And I go back to, you know, yes, it's the way I was brought up, but, you know, I want his skin in the game too.
Well, maybe, but. You know, the drone is one thing, but the flying car might bridge this gap as well, because it looks like we're finally getting to the point where we will get some type of flying car prototype within the next few years.
Yeah.
Are you guys seeing these
sure.
stories?
Yeah,
we've
absolutely.
Been talking about them on the show for some time.
Yeah.
And everybody's
that's not going to help anybody who wants to go overseas.
No.
Why not? They just hop in their car, fly across the ocean, they're good to go.
It'll be years before they're able to carry enough fuel to be able to do that.
Even if ever.
What if it's electric? Solar powered, like the Solar Impulse 2. Take that, Mr. Technology.
It'd be faster going by boat.
He's talking to you there.
I don't know if I'm...
He ain't talking to me when he said Mr.
Good
Technology.
Point.
I said, but it'd be faster if you went by boat.
Maybe.
Yeah. How long did it take Solar Impulse to get around the world?
But it wouldn't be as cool.
Yeah. But experience-wise, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, who knows where this will go. But, yeah, there's some new I saw another article on a new flying car, that's going after that Terrafugia. It looks like, I don't know, the Terrafugia seems to be getting the most buzz. But there's several companies that are racing right now to have the first real flying car. And there's talking about as early as 2017, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder... You know, especially with all the drone stuff, I think there's going to be some overlap here.
And I think the technology is getting very close to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tesla's got cars out now. Of course, they're crashing, but that are driverless. And Ford says they will have theirs out by 2020.
Right.
Driverless cars.
Mm-hmm. So why not? Driverless flying cars. Well, the Terrafugia, I think, is supposed to be a... I don't think you're supposed to really fly that. I think you just put it in your app.
Yeah, put it in the
take me here, and it GPSs you to the next location. I think that's what it says in their
right.
on their video. So, you know, it's going to be basically a drone flying car kind of thing. So we will see. I think it's kind of exciting because I do think we're getting close. And I was it Boeing or something? They're looking at doing something similar. With the idea of not necessarily flying cars, but flying taxis. So it would be an automated system that, or like a flying bus that you'd hop on and it'd just, you know, take you across town.
It'd be an airliner.
Would be, but it'd fly more like a flying car, you know, / helicopter. Or, you know, a lot of them kind of look like, what is that Osprey thing
mm-hmm.
that changes the pitch? Yeah. The rotor flying type mm-hmm. Thing. So I don't know. I think it could be pretty awesome. It could actually happen. That's what's exciting about it from my perspective, that, you know, that kid dream you had of having the flying car after watching the Jetsons that Keith has never seen in his entire life, but Ed and I can relate to, and everyone else on the planet.
But I haven't watched it in 30 years. You watched it yesterday.
Well, hey, man, what else are you going to do while you're recovering from open heart surgery? Come on. it's kind of interesting to think that actually we might see some of this technology kind of fruition finally. And it could, like I said, I think it could overlap with this drone technology, the way that's accelerating so quickly. You think? Am I a futurist by saying this?
No, I think the drone technology, unfortunately, because I like to fly, is going to take over.
Well, you could fly on your drone. You could be one of those YouTube sensations right now. You build a big enough drone and you just hop on top of the damn thing and then operate the controls from on top of it. That's what these guys have been doing.
Yeah, I don't see the...
You don't see the appeal of that? It looks cool. No. I mean, it's like a Rocket Man.
The same reason I won't fly an ultralight.
You won't fly an ultralight? Why?
Because I already have a lawn chair.
You just don't like the, you don't feel as secure?
No.
Well, you know, Neil, our buddy Neil, he flew from the States.
Oh, I know.
Over to the Bahamas in one of those things. He lived. He didn't think he was gonna, but. And that was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you just don't have that adventure spirit.
Yeah, they don't have enough substance. I mean, the light sport's light enough for me.
But it's comfortable. You have that, you know, plastic webbing on your butt. It takes all the extra shock out of, rough landing, or it would be comfortable.
What kind of shows is he going to?
Yeah, no kidding.
I still wonder if the pain medication I was taking.
To the exotic ball in Seattle or something like that.
I don't think it's totally worn off. I think there's some residual effects, from the surgery and painkillers. Oh,
There you go.
Maybe it was the gas. Who knows? Anyway, we'll get back on course next right here. I'm Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lionfish are cool to see, but stings are painful and on the rise as their numbers increase. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what to do if a lionfish stings you.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Lionfish possess spines that transport venom into puncture wounds. The injuries can be extraordinarily painful. Soaking the wound in non-scalding hot water to tolerance will likely relieve the pain from a lionfish sting. Of course, if the injured person appears intoxicated or is weak, vomiting, short of breath, or unconscious, seek immediate advanced medical care. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plain Radio, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, which happens to be celebrating their 10-year anniversary of the first flight student this week. I think it warrants us music, its own little fanfare. Happy anniversary, guys.
Thank you.
What was it like?
What was it like?
Yeah.
Like any other flight?
It was nothing special. I mean, didn't you have a sense of accomplishment after you had that first experience with your first flight student? Or are you like, okay, give me the next one.
Well,
we got bills to pay.
You got to understand that came about 20 years into my career as a flight instructor.
Well, I understand that, but it was 8-year new
business.
8 years
into my pestering him.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to start, we really do need to start at the beginning.
So this was a Flight Training Professionals was a procrastination at least for 10 years before it actually took off as a business?
Ed is a chronic procrastinator.
Wait a minute. he had an idea,
yeah,
which he formulated, and we talked about the concept, but not much more than that over beers and stuff, and while we're doing other things, and
yeah, you know, come up over those type of things, yeah.
He doesn't forget anything, so it stuck with him, and he kept bringing it back and bringing it back, and it took me a little while to get ready for it.
Okay, and how long?
Eight years.
8 years, really. Mm-hmm. So what were you guys doing the 8 years prior?
Working.
You're drinking beer. That sounded like to me, just hanging out drinking beer.
Well, I was working for the airlines at that point.
Oh, okay.
And he was running a flight school down in South Florida.
Yeah.
Ah, I gotcha.
He was running the one here in Sanford first, and then he moved down to South Florida.
Yeah.
He thought he would run away from me.
Tried to get away. He kept boomeranging back.
So. Right. But that first student that you took up in the plane as an official customer of Flight Training Professionals, mm-hmm, was memorable, I would imagine.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Yeah.
You still know the guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's still
part of the family.
Yeah. And
he did his private, his instrument, was working on his commercial until shortly after he found out they were having twins.
Hmm. And that kind of derailed his flight planning?
Heck, a little bit. He's been back into it since then.
Yeah.
And starting to get back at it. In fact, I got a picture of the twins in the back seat about 3 or 4 months ago. We went flying and took the boys up for their first ride.
Very nice. Now, what about, do you actually remember that first flight?
Yeah, sure, I do.
So, you're just saying that. I mean, so it was his training. So
we went to the practice area out to the west.
Okay.
We did slow flight. We did stalls.
Over Lake Apopka?
Over Lake Apopka. We did steep turns. We came back and did two landings.
Nice. And now, 10 years later, you've done that how many times?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember doing all those things sometime in my life.
Well, how many hours?
Last 24 hours.
Do you have any idea how many hours you have now after that 10 years of flight training?
Oh, is the company? No. I don't.
No telling. It's in your logbook.
I could actually pull that up on a
report. Out of my logbook, I'll tell you that.
I could actually pull that up on a report in our system, but I haven't. But,
right.
But yeah, no, it's...
That might be interesting to find
that would
out.
Be. That would be an interesting, how many interesting hours number. Because I know we're doing about 2,500, 3,000 something a year, mm-hmm, usually.
Well, you know, we have a tendency to measure things in years. And just like on my other show, Scuba Radio, we're getting ready to celebrate our 20-year anniversary next year in April. Mm-hmm. And when I went back and I was, you know, some people were asking me questions like, you know, like I just asked you hours. They asked me, how many shows have you done? And I was like, hell if I know. And I went back and I did the math and I realized that we're actually coming up on our 1,000th episode in November. So, you know, that's something you'd probably want to do. You might be at, like, you know, 1 million hours.
Nah.
No? No.
Nah,
100,000?
I don't know.
20,000?
Nah.
Well, you got to figure it out. See, and then
we do need to figure that out. But
yeah, and it could be real. And actually, I can really easily do it.
It's another excuse to get together and have a beer.
Yeah.
And come up with another project that you can put off for 8 years and then... Maybe.
I don't let them put projects off for 8 years.
Not anymore?
Now that we share an office together?
No, hell no.
Yeah. Okay, it's
kind of a constant flogging.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but I turn around and give it back and say, do you get that done? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay, now, well, can't say that.
But the difference between now and 10 years ago is it's not about procrastination. It's about just flat out forgetting.
What?
Yes. Okay. And no more cursing, because obviously you forgot about that, too. But that's okay. Anyway, are you doing anything?
And he thinks life is better because I know what Google is now.
Yeah, he didn't know what Google was back then.
Well, 10 years ago, I don't know. Did anyone?
Yeah.
I don't remember when they started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was older than that. Yeah. But, eh. Yeah, okay. So he's getting a little bit more tech savvy. Keith, after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, are you doing anything special? Are you doing anything special at the flight school? Or you guys just going to have a little get together?
We are going to have an open house and have a little get-together customer appreciation event.
Get a cake, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that we.
How has things changed in 10 years? In the beginning, were you kind of like typical beginning business? Like, how are we going to do this?
10 years ago,
yeah,
his hair was darker and he had more of it.
True.
I had darker hair as well.
When you put up with it for 10 years.
If you look at some of the videos we did even just 5 years ago, you'll notice there's a big difference in the amount of gray in my hair. So
you don't have much gray.
No, I don't. But like I say,
your hair color's covered it all up.
Yeah,
no, that's Lenny.
hair color for men. He loves it.
Yeah,
he's got stock in it.
Yeah.
Me, I just let it go.
Yeah, I gave up. Yeah, as you can see.
Literally, he lets it go a handful at a time.
That's right.
It's like, oh, Ed, ta!
It doesn't matter. Nobody another can see flogging. The top of my head anyway.
Yeah.
This is true.
Okay. But it's a huge accomplishment to make 10 years. Yeah. That's great. And the business is doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have something to be very proud of for sure.
I think one of the biggest things is in latest milestones, just the fact that he's able to come back to the business full time.
Right.
All the other stuff, because flat out, we need him to get to that next level.
Well, you have to take the bad with the good sometimes.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And do you know how many people have come through the system?
You know, that'd be another thing good to figure out. But
so we got
to
work out these stats.
We do that from time to time, but we haven't done it lately.
Yeah, we haven't done it lately.
Well, save that for the party. That'll be a good thing. And maybe we'll throw it in on the show next week or something. How about that?
Okay.
Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.